I'd like us to transition to your next item, so if we want to take advantage of being on a roll here.
Okay. So to compress with time in mind, I am actually going to just – I'm going to ask for questions over the – so we're moving to the executive officer's report, item 20, right now. So – there's the 401 cert tables. I'm not going to talk about. You can stop me if you have questions on any of these items. There's the grants update, and that is one grant that was awarded to, ironically, the Santa Cruz RCD. There's the Buckley Road update. I think that's pretty self-explanatory too. Hearing no questions, I'm going to do a verbal update. It's not in your executive officer's report, but this is your executive officer reporting. I'll provide you with an update on the Elkhorn Slough sediment discharge that we heard about the last time we were in Watsonville. In mid-February, staff received complaints regarding significant sediment discharge in Elkhorn Slough. Staff immediately contacted the NRCS staff and Fish and Wildlife staff. Two farms were identified as the sources of the discharge, and the discharge caused, as you heard, severe washouts, erosion, and sediment deposition in the Elkhorn Slough watershed. Staff stayed in communication with Monterey County, and the county resource management agency issued violations to both properties. The county is requiring specific remediation measures and implementation of practices. Water Board staff inspected the sites in early March, just prior to our March meeting here. And the inspection was a coordinated multi-agency effort to investigate the effect of the sediment discharge. It is estimated approximately 8,000 yards of sediment were discharged between the two sites. Water Board staff issued two notices of violation this week associated with violations of the ag order. And these were a combination notice of violation and investigative order. We talked about what investigative orders were just a few minutes ago in an item two proceeding. The orders require submittal of the farm water quality management plan, submittal of technical documents to comply with that are required as part of compliance with the county's orders. And a requirement to modify and submit a farm plan to conform with sediment management strategies growing out of the sediment management effort. And then a requirement to submit a status report update in January 15th, 2018, assessing the effectiveness of these new management practices. Now that the rainy season will have begun, how's it going out there? Staff's investigation with this is ongoing and may result in further action. The NOVs issued by our irrigated land staff urged the dischargers to take immediate corrective action to fully comply with the ag order and to specifically address all causes of the alleged violations. We will continue to update you as this story moves along. The other issue I wanted to update you on is we're in a brand new fiscal year now. It's almost 2 weeks old. We have a brand new budget. And with that sometimes comes the good news of additional positions, and we do have a lot of good news this year. We received funding for two new positions in the irrigated lands program. And if you know, this is a chronically starved program with respect to resources for us. And that's a big deal. That actually doubles the funding we have. Those two positions doubled the specific irrigated lands funding for our region. We Rob P. Peter to pay Paul oftentimes to adequately resource our irrigated lands program. We also received, we spoke about cannabis, we received a new senior position and three new staff positions associated with the cannabis program that is starting. We already have two positions, and so this will make actually a whole group dedicated to cannabis. We also received a new position in our active oil field program, and as you know, over the last four or so years, that has grown from nothing to almost a full unit in our office as we regulate oil production and the disposal of water associated with oil production in our region. And so that's a total of seven new positions, which is about a 10% growth rate, which is kind of extraordinary for us. It's been nearly 20 years since we've had this kind of growth in our office. Additionally, we're also filling some vacancies. So we have some positions that we've had some trouble moving forward with in terms of filling, and we're now going to more aggressively move on this. That includes a site cleanup senior to backfill Taya's position. Taya was promoted to a section manager. A groundwater assessment program, or GAP senior. We've held a vacancy there for a long time, and we need to move forward with that. And what we're doing is we're actually changing the classification to kind of a technical senior position. They don't have staff reporting to them, but we're increasing the complexity of that job assignment, meshing in things like Sigma and sustainable water resources management into the job description associated with that position. We'll be hiring for that. We have a vacant section manager position currently that we'll be looking to fill in the next few, actually in the next month or so. And then we have a couple other technical positions out there. So why I'm telling you this is it is time intensive and the most important work we do, finding the right staff to fit into our organization. And a significant amount of our time over the next few months is going to be dedicated to that really important job of filling those positions with the right person or people. It's good news, and we're going to be busy too.
And, you know, to supplement a little bit this, you know, in past years, you know, chairs had absolutely no engagement or involvement. This was sort of a mystery process. And in the new fiscal year, it was, well, congratulations, you know, you're getting two positions and you have been naughty, you get nothing. So this time, in the last couple of years, you know, we've kind of pushed to request having more engagement and working collaboratively with the EOs. So what we changed is also helping State Board give the State Board suggestions on reasons behind needs for added positions. So it was a collaborative effort where, you know, the EOs have their perspective on the needs for added positions, but as chairs also, we help saying, well, these are some additional reasons. So this was actually infused in languages that went to the legislator. And so that was a positive change. But then I think lastly, you know, how we rate the success when John says, okay, we got 10% more position. Well, how does it compare to other regions? You know, if other regions got 20% more, you know, it doesn't look very good for us. But I would say that objectively, we fared very, very well.
Absolutely.
As a region.
Absolutely.
You know, in terms of number position compared to the total positions that were available.
On the table, right. For example, the irrigated lands total number of positions in the state was five. We got two of them. So that, I mean, we got 40% of the resources out of that specific budget element, which is significant. So, and similar for the oil field element, we received a significant percentage. It's one position, but it's a significant percentage of what was approved. So, I also want to augment what Dr. Wolf said. the chairs have become much more engaged, and I think that's completely appropriate. Part of the dialogue is also focused not only on what are the most important things we need to have adequate resourcing in, that was part of the discussion, but also, I just slipped away there. I can't recall. Okay. That's all I have in terms of your report. So unless there's questions, we're done.
All right. So we covered that item. So thank you. This will conclude our Thursday, July 13, 2017, Regional Water Quality Control Board meeting. It is, I'm getting all kinds of help. It is 5:20. You know, it's like pushing me along. Get close this meeting. So it's 5:20. This meeting is adjourned with the helpful hand of Mr. Young here.